Exodus chapter 4. Let me return again to the text from this portion of Scripture. There in the verse 14. Exodus 4 and verse 14. The verse begins with the words that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Why was the anger of the Lord kindled against Moses? Well, because Moses had presented excuse after excuse why he felt that he couldn't lead Israel out of Egypt. And here in the verse 13, Moses had said to the Lord, send somebody else. Verse 13, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. In other words, send somebody else. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Last Lord's Day morning, we considered Aaron and his calling. The Apostle Paul has written in Hebrews 5 and verse 4, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. And so Paul there speaks about Aaron being called of God. And we know the reference in Hebrews is to him being called to be a priest unto the Lord. But not only was he called to be a priest unto the Lord, Aaron was called to be a laborer with Moses. We considered last week regarding this call, his service. What was he called to do? According to what we have read here in Exodus 4, verse 14, Aaron had been chosen and called of God to be one who would assist and help Moses. God told Moses that Aaron was on his way to meet him because God had called him. We read there in verse 27, and the Lord said to Aaron, go on into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. So he was called to join with Moses, to be his helper. That was his service. His service was to help Moses. We pointed out that in the Lord's work, help is always needed. And indeed God speaks of helpers in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28. He has a place for helpers in his work. And there we have a service that anyone, that any child of God can render unto the Lord. It is always good to have willing helpers. Those who will come and say, is there anything I can do to help? It is good to have working helpers, those whose help makes a difference. The Apostle Paul, again, as we pointed out, made reference to those who helped him in the work that he was involved in. But we read there in Romans chapter 16. Romans 16 and verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers. in Christ Jesus. You go down the chapter to verse 9. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. And so there you have Paul making mention of helpers. And it indicates to us that Paul saw their labor as being very important, or else he would not have mentioned them. But he mentions them by name in this list, as it were, this roll of honor that Paul drew up there. And so Aaron was called to help Moses. Moses was to be the leader. And Aaron was called to help him. Helpers are needed in the Lord's work. As well as his service, we noted his speech. Moses said that he was slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And yet whenever the Lord spoke about Aaron, verse 14, the Lord said, I know he can speak well. And isn't it interesting that the Lord called the two men? God called the two brothers to serve him, who were very different in speech. Think of how God called Paul to be the great apostle. And yet Paul spoke of his own speech. He says, I do not come unto you with excellency of speech. Indeed, the Corinthians thought that his speech was rather rough and rude. But that's the man God called. And of course, God uses men. And while they're maybe slow of speech, are rude in speech. And Paul says that he did not speak with the enticing words of man's wisdom, yet God called him to serve him. When you think of Moses and Aaron, and if man was to make the choice between the two men, man would have chosen Aaron to be the leader, because he can speak well. But that's not what God did. God chose Moses, even though Moses was slow of tongue and slow of speech, to lead Israel out. We noted not only his service and his speech, but also his separation. This is something which is not immediately apparent. But consider the fact that Aaron was born during the captivity of Egypt, before Pharaoh decreed that all male infants should be destroyed. That means that Aaron was 40 or more years in Egypt, an idol-worshipping people, a people who served and worshipped other gods. But the fact that God called Aaron to serve him indicates to us and teaches us that Aaron did not get caught up in the idol worship of the Egyptians. It indicates that Aaron lived a separated life, separate from the idolatry of the Egyptians. Had Aaron been an idol worshipper, well, obviously, or had been influenced by the Egyptians, he would not have been called. There's a separation. When it comes to serving the Lord, there needs to be separation. Separation from the world. What did Paul say to the believers at Rome? Now I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Holy. To live a holy life, you need to be separated from the world. There's no holiness of life if a man or a woman embrace the world and live as close to the world as they can. When Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, unto God, which is your reasonable service. There's holiness and service. Go together. As well as his service, his speech, and his separation, we noted his surrender. Here is something that stands out in contrast to Moses. Whenever God called Moses, and God told Moses to go, we know that Moses came up with five reasons, or five excuses, why he couldn't go, and why he shouldn't go. And the final excuse was, Lord, send somebody else. And that's when the Lord's anger was kindled against him. But when God called Aaron, we see the difference. For we read there in Exodus 4, verse 27, and the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went. There's the difference. God had told Moses to go. Then Moses came out with all the excuses. Even though God said he would be with him. Even though Moses was told the great I Am would be with him. And even though God told Moses that he would deliver Israel and bring Israel out of Egypt and lead them to the land of promise, yet he was reluctant to go. But when God called Aaron, and the Lord said unto Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses, and he went. God said, go, and Aaron went. See the difference? There you have his surrender. He surrendered to the Lord. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 tells us, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Whatsoever thy hand findeth. That indicates to us a searching or a looking. When you find something, it's an indication you've been looking for something. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, then do it with thy might. Do it in the might and the power of the Spirit of God. That now leads us this morning to, after considering Aaron and his calling, we look today at Aaron and his character. What sort of a man Aaron was? Well, we can certainly see, first of all, he was humble. Aaron readily took second place to Moses, even though Aaron was 3 years older than Moses. Aaron was the firstborn. And so here we have Aaron now. He is to take second place to his older brother. Or he's the eldest to his younger brother, rather. Even though he was the firstborn in the family, 3 years older than Moses, yet that's why we said he played second fiddle to Moses. Notice how the men are referred to in Exodus 4, verse 19. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go return into Egypt, for all the men that are dead which sought thy life. You go down then to chapter 5 and verse 1. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. Moses and Aaron. Moses' name comes first. Moses and Aaron. Now you would think because Aaron was the eldest, it would be Aaron and Moses. No. It's Moses and Aaron. And so here we see Aaron has to take second place to Moses. That speaks to us of his humility. He took the humble place. And really that's something the Lord taught during the days of his earthly ministry. You turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And here's the Lord teaching his hearers to be sure and take the humble place. Luke 14, verse 8. And when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. Verse 10. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up hither, then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So there's the Lord teaching his hearers to be sure to always take the humble place. Well, that's what Aaron did. Now, there was a time in his life when pride got the better of him. For we read in Numbers, in chapter 12, Numbers 12, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. And the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Pride, for a brief time in the life of Aaron, got the better of him. Hath not the Lord spoken by us? Aaron was saying, Hath not the Lord spoken by me? But then you go down the chapter to Numbers chapter, again Numbers 12 and verse 11. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned. So whenever Aaron had his sin pointed out to him, the sin of pride, well, we give credit to Aaron. He went to Moses and apologized. That's the mark of a good man. Pride may have got the better of him for a while. But then he went and apologized to Moses. This teaches us to be ever on our guard against foolish and fleshly pride. It can rise up so quickly. We can say at least Aaron acknowledged his sin and apologized to Moses. So we see his humility. He was humble. And then we notice his haste. We have pointed that out there in chapter 4 and verse 27. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses, and he went. There were no arguments. There were no excuses. There were no reasons given why he couldn't go. When the Lord said unto Aaron, go into the wilderness, it says he went. There you have his haste. He was in a hurry to do the Lord's bidding. Again, we think of Moses. We read there in chapter 3 and verse 10, come now, Moses, I want you to go now. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go on to Pharaoh? There's the first of his excuses. The Lord said, come now. I want you to go to Pharaoh. But Moses did not show the same haste as Aaron did. Moses was not just as ready to do the bidding of God as Aaron was. Remember how the centurion, with whom the Lord had an interview with him, how the centurion spoke about those who were under his command. Matthew 8 and verse 9, the centurion said, I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Isn't that how we ought to respond to the commands of our captain, the captain of our salvation? I say unto this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Christ is our captain. And he is our captain, gives us orders. Let us be like Aaron and be hasty in obeying those orders. Whatever he commands us to do, whatever he calls upon us to do, let us do it. Even as David said, the king's business requireth haste. 1 Samuel 21 verse 8. Well, Aaron was about the king's business. The king's business of helping Moses to bring Israel out of Egypt. And when the Lord said to him, go, we're told, and he went. No arguments, no excuses in between. Go, and he went. There's his haste. And he was humble. You notice also the harmony. When Moses and Aaron came together to do the work of God, there was harmony between them. We have read that there in the verse 27 of chapter 4. Of Exodus, and the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses, and he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. It was harmony. There was harmony between the brothers. And of course, when it comes to doing the work of God, there always needs to be harmony. Always needs to be harmony among the people of God. There was no such harmony among the saints in Corinth. For we read there in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 3, there in verse 3, Paul says, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Look at verse 8. "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." In other words, Paul is saying, the person who does the planting is the same as the person who does the watering. One isn't more important than the other. Why? Because they labor together. One plants, another waters. They're doing it together. There's unity. There has to be unity. That's what Paul is teaching. Paul is saying, I'm not any better than Apollos. We're working together. We are laborers together with God. That's the way it should always be. In the Lord's work, amongst God's people, there ought to be that harmony. If anything is to be done and accomplished for God, you recall what it was like in the church Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and how God's people came together to pray. They were together in prayer, and they were together in their worship. As we read in Acts, and there in chapter 2, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers." They were together. They continued in fellowship. "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together." There was harmony. "We're together and had all things common. And they continued," verse 46, "and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved," or such as were being saved. See the fruits of harmony? We look at Moses and Aaron. There was harmony between the two brothers. God's work. So it ought to be always. Didn't the prophet say, can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, Moses and Aaron were agreed, all right. And they worked together, and God blessed them. And together, they saw Israel delivered out of the house of bondage. So we have considered Aaron and his calling, Aaron and his character. Then we look at Aaron and his commission. God told Moses what Aaron's work would be. Verse 16. He shall be thy spokesman unto the people. He shall be thy spokesman. So Aaron was to do the speaking for Moses, and Moses would tell him what to say. And what Aaron would say would come from God. From God to Moses to Aaron. Verse 15 of Exodus 4. And thou shalt speak unto him, that is Moses, you'll speak unto Aaron, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And so God would reveal to Moses what he wanted Aaron to say. And Aaron would be the spokesman. We read down in verse 30. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses. So there's Aaron at work. And the Lord spake on, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. What we have here, first of all, regarding his commission, is the teaching. We see there in verse 15 that God would teach his servant what to say. So whenever Aaron would say anything unto Pharaoh, whatever Aaron would say to Pharaoh, it had to come from the Lord. It would come from the Lord, as the Lord would reveal to Moses what Aaron was to say. So it was, thus saith the Lord. Aaron could not go forth with Moses and speak unto Pharaoh and just tell him what he thought. No, it had to be a word from God. What Aaron said to Pharaoh had to come from God. It had to be, thus saith the Lord, verse 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith Jehovah. So the message he would give to Pharaoh had to come from God. He couldn't just make up something of his own accord. It had to come from the Lord. So it is with the preacher. The message he delivers on the Lord's day must come from the Lord. It must be a word that he receives from God. It must be, thus saith the Lord. And that message comes from God through prayer and the study of the Word. God speaks to the preacher through the Word, and that Word he takes and delivers it. Just as God would speak to Moses, and Aaron would deliver what God said. So it is with the preacher. He must be taught of God before he can teach the people. He will go forth then with great assurance in his heart, saying, I have a word from God. I have a word from God, and by God's grace, we're going to deliver that word. That's how Aaron was to speak on to Pharaoh, knowing that he had got a word from God through Moses. The Lord had taught him, you see, had done the teaching. I will teach you, the Lord said. So the teaching was done, and then Aaron relayed the word that God had given to him through Moses. As well as the teaching, there was the telling. He was taught of the Lord what to say and when. Then he went forth and did the telling. We can see that what God told Aaron to say, that's what he did say. Look at Exodus 4 and verse 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. That's what he was to say. Now look at chapter 5 and verse 1. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. The point is, Aaron delivered the word that God had given to him. Israel is my son. He is my firstborn. Let Israel go. And they went and said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. In other words, first of all, we see Aaron was faithful. What God had told him to say, that's what he did say. Notice we are told, Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Chapter 4, verse 30. You can underline the word all. Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses. So he was faithful. He didn't leave anything out. He didn't reason with himself and say, well, I better leave this out. This might offend Pharaoh. Not at all. For we read, Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses. He spake all. And the man who, as we say, played second fiddle to Moses, was faithful. You could say he played a very sweet tune, because it was all the word of God. It reminds us of Paul the Apostle and his farewell address to the elders at the church at Ephesus. For we read there in Acts 20, as he bids the elders farewell, he casts an eye over the 3.5 years he had served the Lord there and ministered to them. And we read in Acts 20 and verse 19, Paul says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying and wit of the Jews, verse 20, and how I kept back nothing. that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. I've kept back nothing. In other words, Paul said, I've told you all. All that the Lord has given to me, I've given it to you. I haven't held anything back. That's the mark of a faithful preacher. You go on down, Acts 20 and verse 26. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. In other words, Paul saying, I was faithful to every man in this church. There's not a man who'll be able to stand on the day of judgment and point their finger at me and say, you didn't tell me the truth. No, not a man. Paul says that he'd been faithful in all things. I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Listen, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. All of it. I haven't held anything back. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He was faithful. You can praise the Lord for faithful men. And boy, don't we need more faithful ministers of the Word today. In this day of religious apostasy and compromise, in this day of rampant sin and vice and corruption, need God to raise up more men who will take their stand for God and declare all the counsel of God. Preach the word. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. First Corinthians 4, verse 1, Paul says, let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Look upon us as the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. We're stewards of God's word. How do we deliver it? How do we preach it? Verse 2, moreover, it is required, in stewards that a man be found faithful. So God requires. God requires us to be found faithful. Isn't that the great goal? Isn't that the prize we're looking forward to? At the end of life's journey, to be welcomed home, to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Paul finished his course, and he kept the faith, and it was given to him, as he anticipated, a crown of righteousness that fadeth not away. That's what we want, isn't it? To hear God say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. He was faithful, Aaron. He was fearless regarding the telling of the Word of God. He was faithful and he was fearless. when a man has got the Word of God in his hand, he can not only be faithful, he needs to be fearless as well. And here was Aaron, and they were going to see, along with Moses, the two of them were going to see Pharaoh. We've just read in the chapter 5, Pharaoh says, "Who is your Lord? Who is your God? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." He was a wicked, cruel, godless individual. But Aaron still delivered the word. The word that God had given to him. And how the preacher needs to be faithful. And he needs to be fearless. I'll close with this. If you turn to 1 Kings, chapter 22. First Kings 22. Here we read about a man of God called Micaiah. In 1 Kings 22, we read in verse 7, "And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not there a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. I hate him. Why? For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so." So they sent for Micaiah. And you go down the chapter there to verse 13. "And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." Telling Micaiah, better watch what you say. Don't say anything bad against the king. Look at what Micaiah said in response. Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." Boy, you can say amen to that. You can say amen, Micaiah. That's the way it should be. "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." In other words, Micaiah will go there, face the king, and he'll be faithful, and he would be fearless. He would tell the king what God had given to him. Like Aaron and Moses. They went to see Pharaoh. Oh, and they knew Pharaoh wouldn't like the message they would bring. But they went anyway. And they delivered the Lord's word anyway. That's the way it should be. How we need more Micaiahs today. "As the Lord God has spoken unto me, that will I speak." So we need more Aarons as well. Men like Aaron who were faithful and fearless. Even though he played second fiddle to Moses, yet he was a great servant of God. May the Lord bless his word. to our hearts today and make us, by his grace, faithful in our service for the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear Lord and eternal Father, we thank thee for men like Micaiah, great servants of God, faithful and fearless, men like Paul, threatened with beatings and imprisonments, yet he was faithful and he was fearless. And men like Aaron, who went there with his brother to Pharaoh, knowing that Pharaoh wouldn't like what he had to say. But he was faithful, and he was fearless. Lord, help us to be faithful and fearless in these days. Help us to be true to the blood and to the book. Serve the Lord with nothing less than our all. Bless us, Lord, around the table. Draw near to us. And dear Lord, for any who must leave, may thy good hand be upon them and bless them for good. We pray in the Savior's holy name. Amen. We'll close this part of the service with the singing of hymn number 238.